Hello and welcome to the Human Struggle Bus Show. We are your Human Struggle Bus hosts.
Oh, good Lord. It is I.
Hannah, who doesn't have a phone, and Caroline, whose commute took 2 hours this evening.
Two?
Yeah.
Ew. Disgusting.
So we're doing great.
And you said did you say it's like the hottest day of, or someone on Forever said it's the hottest day in New York? Someone on the Forever socials. Maybe it was Dana.
Oh, it was probably Dana. Oh, because she got her Christmas book arcs.
Oh,
she
yeah,
said something about it. It is hot. Mm-hmm. It was like 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Which back home, not crazy. For some reason here, I don't know if it's just because it's been so lovely and cold for so long, but God, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Everyone in the subway station was so sweaty.
Oh, I'm not excited for that. It was a nice day out, despite me having to go to Best Buy and have them tell me that my phone has more issues than they've ever seen. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's a catastrophic failure. I'm like, what?
Catastrophic?
So if you don't know, and Caroline doesn't know much, neither do I, honestly, because this is all we're processing in real time. Yesterday I went to record a video on TikTok because that's where I do my daily book chats now because Instagram sucks, and the camera would not record, and I was getting so angry because it was a book chat about the book that came out yesterday. So I was like, I need to get this up. I was so mad. So it wasn't working. I made sure TikTok was updated. I made sure Instagram was updated because then it wasn't like loading. It finally worked, but then Instagram wouldn't load the video. So I think that file was corrupt. I don't know. And then I updated my phone because it was out of date. And then I updated every app and all of that. And then I was still having issues with TikTok. And then my phone just decides to like shut down and like restart. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that was random. And then I proceed to do it 20 times in the next day. So yesterday I probably did it 10 times. And today I did it like 10 times. Like no matter what I was doing, it could just be sitting next to me completely unbothered. And it would just turn off and restart. And I'm like, this can't be good. So I went to Best Buy today, and because I have Apple Care, and she runs a diagnostic, and the first one, she's like, I have never seen this issue before. And apparently, you know, in the iPhone 15, there are like 3 cameras. Mm-hmm. Apparently 2 of them just didn't function, and they couldn't be found in the diagnostic test. And I was like, What do you mean? It's fun. Like, I can take pictures. We had the Northern Lights and I took pictures of them. What do you mean? She's like, I don't know. I have never seen this before. And I'm like, is that causing these issues? So she's like, I don't know. So then she did another test, and then her eyes got so big. And she was like, I have never seen this many instances of a failure report or something. And I was like, well, that tracks, because it was getting real annoying. So she imports like all of the issues to Apple, and she thought it was going to be like they were going to have to like change out like parts of the phone, and they came back with, yeah, this is unfixable, we have to give you a new phone. And I just was wholly unprepared for that on a Wednesday night. So that's where I'm at.
I
have an iPhone 11.
Have more problems than anyone has ever seen.
Yes. I was like,
I identify as a catastrophic failure also.
I was like, what? So like, she still doesn't even know what's wrong with it. Like, we don't know. But I get
also
a new phone.
Relatable content.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what's wrong. We just know there are many things wrong. So yeah, I have to like restore from my iCloud after this podcast and figure that out, which I don't know how to do, so we're gonna figure that out. Yeah, so that's been fun.
Having a lot of issues. My like boss's boss.
Mm.
Actually, it was like my boss's boss. He's like higher up, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't know who I am. He knows where I belong. He knows who I belong to, because it's really obvious who the Forever people are. But he definitely doesn't know my name. I've been in many meetings with him. Definitely doesn't know who I am. Regardless, Dana has candy out at her desk because she's on the end and I'm next to her. And my parents had sent me Easter candy, including some jelly beans. And I like sour jelly beans, but not regular jelly beans. So I had brought them to work and was like, here, candy for your desk. She had left the jelly beans on the desk.
Yeah.
The boss guy came by. He was like, oh, I've been eating your jelly beans all day. Dana's like, oh, well, you know, they're actually Caroline's. He might know my name now, but probably not. They're actually Caroline's, but, you know, neither of us are really, like, jelly bean fans. And he's kind of an awkward guy. He's not, like, a jokester. But he looks at us and he goes, really? What's wrong with you guys? And I responded in true, like, my dad would be so proud. And in fact, he was. He thought this was hilarious when I told him the story. I said, that's the least of the things that are wrong with me. And he didn't really respond. He just kind of walked away. And I was like, okay. Well, this was just my gut response. He didn't think it was funny, yeah. I guess.
Me with any human interaction post-COVID. I feel that. I just can't do that personally.
I thought I was pretty funny. You don't like jelly beans? What's wrong with you guys? That's the least of the things wrong with me. Come on now. I'm a silly, goofy gal. I took a stand-up comedy class in college.
You have one of those remotes. You should have brought it.
I do. I don't know where it is, actually, but I do have one of those remotes. There we go. I found it. Don't worry. That's the least of the things wrong with me. I should have had this with me at work.
You should have. You should just bring it.
Yep. Yeah, to our, like, full department meeting. I'll say one thing and then just...
And just don't stop it. Yeah, it's like
just keep hitting it over and over again.
Yeah, so we are struggle bussing. That's the vibe.
We are.
And we are also struggling with life and the podcast just because we were going to do a theme. And then I was like, I have not thought about said theme.
I also haven't thought about said theme. Who thinks about themes? Yep.
That's so
not us, true. That's for sure.
That's very, very true.
Barely functioning in my daily life.
I'm less than functioning. Opposite of functioning.
We're catastrophic failuring.
We are catastrophic failures. But I have managed to read some books. You, one book.
I've read a lot of books.
I mean, you've read more, but just...
But if we're gonna say, like, pitch me a book you've read recently, I've got one that I would want to do. One historical romance, anyway. I haven't been on a big historical... In a big historical mood of late.
It's just tricky with, like, finding things to read that aren't, I don't know, like, new releases or something. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Doing great.
Yes, that is I. And you, us, we. Okay. Let's get into it so that we can stop doing this and making everyone suffer with
us. Let's start so that we can stop.
Stop. I'm trying to, like, remember any book I've read. This is
just pick one.
It's becoming a challenge.
I'm gonna pitch you a book, and you're gonna pitch me a book, and we're gonna call it a night.
Okay, you
listeners, if you wanted more recommendations, you should be subscribed to our newsletter because we just gave you so many. Did it go out several days after it was supposed to? Yes. Don't worry about it.
You have to keep you guessing. Schedules
never let you. We never let you know our next move.
No, I don't think we will ever. Syllabus out the window.
Out.
We're the cool professors.
It's like a pop quiz, but for us. You just get the answers. We are scrambling.
That is very accurate. And, yep, makes me sweaty.
We signed on to this call tonight, not knowing what it was going to be about.
I sent Caroline the weirdest message from my Apple Watch.
Let me read it out loud for you.
Because I couldn't text on the phone because it's not, I don't have.
Okay, so I am on my Apple Watch and I forgot to text on this thing, so I'm having to speak. I'm done. I can set up right now. I don't think I have enough, like, I don't know, Rex spelt like W-R-E-C-K-S.
So real.
For the Richardson pipeline. I haven't really thought about it. Do you want, this is no punctuation. I haven't really thought about it. Do you want to do, like, I don't know if we can get on the phone and just figure something out to do shortly, like a simple if we've been reading or something. Maybe that'll be easiest. Okay, I'm going to figure out how to send this. And then a follow-up text that says, I'm realizing that did not make sense. Rake to Sam pipeline. Not Sam. Simp, whatever, help.
I mean, it's so real because I couldn't figure out how to use that watch. I hadn't used it since I needed it in New York for directions. It's just been sitting on my desk. And then, like, I forgot you had to, like, write to type. I was like, I'm not using my finger to, like, spell out words. And I couldn't figure out how to do a space. I just decided to do voice. But then I don't know how to do voice punctuation.
So you have to say the punctuation.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen.
It has to be, like, I am saying a sentence, period. But if you are going to do that, comma, you have to spell out all the punctuation, exclamation point. I am familiar.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. And I didn't know how to edit it. So you just got that. And honestly, it sounded better as I was speaking it than what you read out. Cause, yep. I'm surprised you even responded.
I would not answer.
She's been abducted by aliens. I'm gonna let it ride.
Ugh. No.
I did warn you before that we may have to take to email.
You did, so I knew this was coming, although I wasn't expecting an Apple Watch voice noting.
No, I didn't know how to get to my email on that phone, so I was like, okay, well, I'm wearing my watch, why don't we try? And we failed. We failed so hard. God, I need to remember this book. So yeah, that's been my life. And then I have to go to Verizon tomorrow morning, and hopefully they can, like, turn on my cellular. Because without that, this thing is just a brick if I leave the house. It's not easy being green.
I would know.
I don't have any hope.
Listener, if you don't know, my last name is Green. That's why I would know.
And it's not easy.
It's not easy being green.
It's also very not sweet.
It's true. Only salty.
It took me so long. Times you had to explain that out. No, I'm one of them.
You are. I thought it was obvious. Evidently,
no, not to me. I mean, I'm very obtuse.
No,
I think
not to many people, because I've had to explain it a lot. And sometimes I'm like, isn't it funny that people don't know? And people go, oh, I didn't know that there was a reason behind it. Of course there's a reason.
I think we have this verbatim on the podcast, probably.
Probably.
Very clever.
God bless you, longtime listeners. I don't know why you're still here. All three of you.
You're here longer than my brain cells have been. I can tell you that.
Well, I don't know that that's true. I mean, I guess some of them, if you're, like, generating new cells.
Yeah. They've just all regenerated to the point of having nothing in there. That's just a fresh baby.
No thoughts. No grooves on this brain. Just hard-boiled egg brain rattling around in there.
Shave me down. Make me round.
I'm going to picture it. Okay. Never mind. We're signing off. That's the end of that. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a wonderful weekend.
That's all I've got. I'm going to pitch you a book.
Okay, please
do. That I have read. And we're going to ignore the fact that you've already started it, so clearly you're also going to read it.
Yeah, but I'm excited to hear what you have to say about it.
Sharks, I offer you a queer historical romance.
I tried to
what if that was my entire pitch? It actually might be my entire pitch, because the thing about Kat Sebastian is that her books are so good that, you know, when you're like, I can't say things about this book because I just feel very incoherent about it.
Me with
I felt
one.
That way about We Could Be So Lucky. It's hard to talk about that book
because
it's just like, this is just really good.
I think my review is half crying emojis. I would say, like, a word, cry.
No, exactly. This one, similar vibes. The thing that, okay, Okay. I had a conversation with Dana at work the other day where I was like, have you noticed? Now, I am not a Kat Sebastian pro. There are, especially her backlist books, mm-hmm. I've only read a handful. However, have you ever noticed that Kat Sebastian writes the exact same relationship over and over again?
Starting to see it, yeah.
It's Grumpy Sunshine. Mm-hmm. It's like a sunshine kind of ditzy blonde usually character. And then a dark-haired kind of caustic, dramatic background, like very sarcastic but very charmed by the kind of ditzy blonde.
Yep. I'm going through like all the ones I've read.
Kit Webb. Mm-hmm. Marian Hayes is unique because it's not same sex, they're bi, but man and woman pairing. Yep. But he is the sunshiny character and she is the she's writing golden retriever black cat relationships over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of them. So this book is basically We Could Be So Lucky in a different font. I'm confusing the titles. We Could Be So Good. Yeah. It's We Could Be So Good.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah. In a different font. But in this one, instead of two journalists, it's a journalist who knows the first two journalists.
Because Andy was one of the main characters in book one, right? Because we already met him on like page one or so of this one.
Yeah.
I've got page 17, guys.
This is the like book reviewer guy that gives Andy
that
some
we saw
queer
that
books.
The books in the for that would make yeah
that's him and I'm blanking mm-hmm. on his name. Is it Mark?
And oh, Mark is Mark. The
Mark. Yep. Yeah. So and the journalist that Andy knows, Mark, is our black cat, and he has been assigned to write journal entries, so kind of ghostwriting, but like basically writing diary entries for this newspaper from the perspective of our golden retriever Eddie O'Leary, who is a baseball player who's mm-hmm. in a rough
I'm so
situation
baseball.
It's really good. He got traded away from home and found out when the press sprung it on him, and he had a bad mm-hmm. reaction on TV and said some regrettable things about the team he was being traded to. And now his swing has entirely disappeared and he can't hit a ball to save his life. And also his entire team is giving him the silent treatment. So he's just like alone and having a terrible time in New York. And now this random, really hot journalist is like, hey, I'm going to write about you. Let's mm-hmm. go to dinner. And it's so
– I would love that to happen to me.
The thing is, there's, like, no plot. It's, again, like, we could be
just
so –
just a day
good.
In the life. Yeah. Just kind of, like, watching things happen.
Like, writing this newspaper column about him, and they're both – Mark is also grieving. His last, like, partner had died mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, and he's still living in the apartment that has been left to him with the dog of the deceased partner, who, by the way, he doesn't sleep in her bed. She sleeps by the door because she doesn't understand that he's not coming back. And he thinks that she hates him because he's here. And the other guy's not. Kat, why would you do this to me? But
Kat, that's very dog of you.
Like, Eddie's trying to get his swing back and not be in a terrible slump, and all the New York baseball fans hate him but also are kind of rooting for him. So, like, there is a plot, but it's mostly just, like, these two guys being very charming and, like, slowly falling in. I don't know how she does it. It's so slow that you almost can't see it, but you can see it.
Well, that's what was so interesting about We Could Be So Good.
It's the same but different.
Andy is fully in, like, a committed relationship by, like, the middle of the book. And he's, like, proposes. And then, like, but I'm still, like, rooting for them, even though, like, I'm rooting for the main, like, it was a whole thing. And I was, like, this is nothing how I expected this to be going. And I didn't expect to just be, like, so enamored by that whole process.
I was also so enamored. You're just mm-hmm. sinking it. I also have been really struggling with reading generally, but specifically with audiobooks. Like, just finding the urge to put on the audiobook. And I did not – I read this one in like, a day and a half. I love – I know you can't because of the present third or whatever, but if that is not, listener, something that bothers you, I love that Joel Leslie, that narrator.
I do love him.
He's phenomenal.
I know. Makes me sad. I whipped this out in Best Buy because I was smart enough to bring it when this phone brick thing was updating. And I was like, I'm
it's just so charming and so atmospheric. It's like 1960 New York in like the journalism and also baseball sphere. There are all these side characters that are just so real and like tangibly a part of their world. And there's like a whole side plot with this like poor baseball team who's doing terribly. It's a bunch of like misfits, people who aren't ready to be in the major league and like old people.
I guess because they said it was an expansion team. So those are all the players who
don't want to be a mishmash of people. And you're like traveling with the team. It's just so
That makes me so happy. Yeah, I'm very excited. I've already I didn't want to put the book down. But I had to eat dinner.
I don't know how she does it. Kat Sebastian, how do you write the exact same relationship over and over and over again? And somehow I am still so charmed. It's 5 stars every time. I was like 5 minutes into the audiobook and I was like, this is 5 stars. She's done it again, by God.
Like, I've just got the setup of like him and him, like both of them. And I'm just like, yep. I'm ready to be ruined.
Yeah.
Sign me up. We've got a golden-haired baseball boy and a gruff reporter. Like, I can just picture. I don't know what actor I was picturing Mark as, but it was like very visceral. And I'm just like, I'm so ready.
For me, he's like a Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch type.
My God.
But like, I think a little bit sharper than that. Like, that's not the exact image, but. Mm-hmm. That, like, kind of dark hair suit, glasses. So he walks around reading books.
And I love how they were both like, you're so pretty, even though neither of them said it. I'm just like, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I am very excited. I rarely buy books physically because either, you know, I'm sent them or I've read the ARC or I'll buy the audiobook, stuff like that. And so, like, I went to Barnes & Noble because it said it was, like, the weekend after it was released, it said it was in stock, and I was like, this is my moment to shine. I can buy a book. And then I go there, and I literally look in every place this book could be. I'm like, it's not by the Kat Sebastian. It's not by the Seas. It's not, like, randomly in the queer section, because they had, like different queer end caps for Pride Month coming up. They had a separate historical section, but it wasn't there either, because those were all, like, mass markets. It wasn't on any end caps. And I was like, where is this book? I just want to buy it.
Did you check fiction?
Yeah. So I checked fiction. And then I went to them, and I was like, please help me. And then they were like, we don't know where it went. Like, after they tried to look up. Like, they followed the route that I took.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I did check. And I'm like, it's not here. I'm like, is it still in the back? And so I don't know if someone stole it, which, if you're going to steal a book, I guess you picked a good one. Rude of you, though, if you stole it, whoever you are. But they had to order it in for me. And then their email didn't send to me, so then I was like, is this in? And I had to go in and check. Now I finally have it. It was a whole saga, which apparently is just my life now. Many trips and many sagas.
And catastrophic failures.
Just, I mean, her eyes bugged out. I was like, oh. I mean, that's never good. No, I was like, it's at least validating, because like when the first diagnostic only brought up the camera, I'm like, well, that's not the issue I was having. So this is a surprise to both of us. And then she was like, well, this will track if it's like tracked any like shutdowns. I'm like, well, I hope it's going to track it because there have been many. And then like 5 seconds later, she was like, oh, my God. And I was like, that doesn't look like a good face. And then she was like, yeah, we can probably fix it. And then it progressed to, yeah, no, we cannot ever fix this. So I still don't know I just wish I know what's wrong. I feel like it was just busted from the start. Like, it's only 8 months old. Like, I feel like, because it had randomly, like, shut down before, but it was never, like, the Apple logo coming on. It was always, like, the little, like, circle, like, buffering thing. Like, weird. It would, like, yeah, like, it would turn black, buffer for a second, and then just go to my, like, login page. But I didn't require like a passcode, but this time it was like fully restarting every time. And like, I'd have to type in my passcode every time. Like, everything was lagging. I was like, I don't, cause I had like 200 gigabytes of space left. So like, it's not a space issue, but also my laptop wasn't airdropping to my phone. Like, it was canceling. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm just happy I'm getting a new phone, because apparently that thing was just fucked from the start. But yeah, now I get to relearn how to have an iPhone 11. So at least there's no button. I feel like if there was a button again, I would forget how to function entirely. So there's that. Wow. I wish I was in the historical romance book with no cell phones and only a very hot baseball player standing in front of me.
Honestly, that's valid. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know how to function in a world without that kind of technology.
That is very true.
Unfortunately, I would get so lost.
Yeah, so that was fun. Oh, God. Okay, well, now I get to pitch you this book that I loved, but do I remember? I don't know. I'm going to try.
Look, all I told you about The Cat Sebastian is, like, the premise and that I had a lot of feelings.
I'm trying to find my inner zen to
if there's one thing I know from book marketing, it's that you don't always have to know all the details. You just have to know what's going to get them to pick it up.
That is very true. This one, it's like the – I'm trying to think of like another book. The When a Scot Ties the Knot by Tessa Dare, where she like writes like fake letters and assumes they're not being delivered.
Delicious.
And then all of a sudden – shows up at her door and he's like, right. Hello, it is I. So that's this. But she's been engaged to a Viscount since childhood because she like found a will or something in their attic and she pretended that it meant that she had to like be engaged to this guy because she didn't want to be like in society or whatever. And so she's been using him as a distraction and like a an excuse for not doing things. And so she's been like writing letters and stuff that are like fake. And her brother, I think, is the only one who knows that it's not real. And then all of a sudden, this Viscount that she's supposed to be engaged to shows up into town. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what do you mean? I don't want to marry you. He is fully like, he knows that she knows that he's not who he says he is. This person that no one's seen in, like, years. The Viscount is technically alive, but no one's seen him. They don't know where he is. So he's, like, claiming that he's, like, part of this family. But she knows he's a schemer because she, like, dealt with him before and then he shows up. And so, like, they have to basically pretend to be engaged while pretending that he is who he says he is because he's going to blackmail her because they met. This is so convoluted. Oh, my God. They met when she was masquerading as a man at a Paris club.
Sure.
He went there. It's all coming back. He went there to gamble and make the 2,000 pounds that he was owing this villain. She goes to gamble because she's dressed as a man and wants the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. She wins. Yes. She wins the 2,000 pounds. He loses and he's angry about it. And so he finds her in the alley and he knows she's a woman. And so they make out.
Oh, so they make out in the alley. Of course.
Yep. Yep. So they make out in the alley and he tries to like get her to give him the money. It doesn't work. So then he goes away and he's frustrated because this guy is like still after him. She goes back to her life and then he shows back up. She recognizes him. He knows it's her, but he's pretending that he doesn't know it's her to like piss her off. And so he's blackmailing her with the knowledge that she was out in a club in Paris to pretend that they are engaged because he needs like something from the estate because the estate doesn't really have any money, but he needed like some, I don't know, something from it to be able to pay this dude off. And so it's just a big romp. Like the entire thing is them just like trying to convince everyone in the town that they are engaged and that they like each other and that everything is official. And it was so good. Her family is hilarious. This is book two. So you meet her, like her family, and you meet the sister in book one. And then there's a scene, I think I mentioned it in our last episode, where the mother is trying to teach sex ed to the daughters because there are like several daughters and she has like a Lord Turgid puppet, a Lord Flaccid puppet, and a Lady Content puppet, and it's just the best running bit, and I'm so excited for it to be in book three. And so that was just, it's just a very funny book. It reminded me a lot of Loretta Chase because this is the one that I was reading while I was also reading like a Loretta Chase series, and I was getting them confused because they just felt very similar. And the third act was so fun. I'm not gonna explain it because it would be a spoiler, but like, they're just red herrings. There are things you don't know and you're guessing at, and a whole family drama, because then like the family that he's pretending to be a part of, you start to like them. And, like, he just needs a family because he's lonely. And
of course.
Man, yeah, of course. It was so good. And then the ending, I had no clue how it was going to end. And it was just so unserious. And I was like, I am very happy with this. So, yeah, that was a lot of words to talk about The Trouble with Inventing a Viscount by Vivien Lorette. Again, it all came back to me as I was speaking, which did not make for a very pleasant summary, but
I don't
take away.
I don't know how you would give a summary for that.
I don't either. I mean, it would help to start at the beginning, which I did not, because I didn't remember the beginning, but then I remembered it. So,
I mean, it's all coming back to me now. Simply so silly.
Mm-hmm. It was the comparison to When a Scot Ties the Knot is honestly all you really need to know. Because he basically, like, moves into her life, and he's giggling because he knows it's pissing her off, and she's angry about it, but then she's also, like, he doesn't remember our kiss. It was so hot. How can he not remember? Like, she's pissed that he doesn't remember, and, it was so good. Book one is fabulous as well. She also said that she was engaged to that Duke to, like, get back at this, like, bitchy girl, and then the rumor mill spreads, and so this Duke is like, I literally, like, any other book normally you would expect the person who's like caught in this like fake thing would just like go along with it. He was so mad. He was like, I literally, this is the worst thing that you could have ever done to me. I hate you so much. This is ridiculous. Like, why have you done this? And she's like, I did not mean to. It was a whole thing, but that one is really good. You see them in this book and they're like having like a marriage tussle. And it was very entertaining. So I would definitely read in order just so you can, like, get the full feels. But you don't need to read in order. But this is also an arc. When does it come out? September 24th. So, yeah, I'd set all that so that you can read it in September. But read book one between now and then. Or request the arc from Avon on NetGalley. I don't think you'll be disappointed. But, yes. Words. And the cover is really good, too. She's got a pretty red dress, and it's, like, an outdoor scene with the rain that was in the book. What tropes did I have on StoryGraph? I'm so... technology is not my friend. It's my enemy, actually.
No, I'm not. Me with the trains today.
Honestly.
They're not that bad. The problem is just when you've stood there for 40 minutes and your train hasn't shown up and you're like, okay, I guess I have to take a different train. And then you get off at the stop where you think your transfer is, but then you have to leave the station to transfer, and then you go the wrong way for a block, and then you have to go all the way back two blocks to get to the other entrance to the station because everything is under construction. See, and this is why I simply wouldn't survive if I were with Eddie and Mark in 1960s New York, because they are just... Well, they actually were taking a lot of taxis because Mark was like, the office is going to pay because this is work. And I was like, that's honestly relatable. We love charging it to the work card. That's not true. We don't do that much. But when we do get to, it's like, charge it.
Okay. I'm looking at the tropes that I listed on StoryGraph. So we're just going to go down the line. One, there was a duck. I'm remembering that. There was a duck. Two, they were caught in a rainstorm.
Three, I don't think, for the record, there was a duck counts as a trope.
Not necessarily tropes, just circumstances that I like to keep track of, because then when my brain is like, I need a book with a duck, I can't remember, so I have to be very meticulous.
Sure.
There was a duck. They were caught in a rainstorm. Said rainstorm led to a tryst in the woods in a deserted, you know, cabin, shed, whatever.
I just read the Alexandra Vasti,
yes,
the chemist one. Where there was also a tryst in a shed.
Exactly.
Love a tryst in a shed.
Me frickin' too. I love conniving rainstorms to just really make everyone have sex. Happens in Scandal in Spring. Just my favorite. My favorite. Obviously, it's Invent a Fake Suitor. Near-death experience. Enemies to lovers. Bananas plot. Fake relationship. Hurt comfort. Jealousy. 16. Romp. Woman in pants.
Oh, 16. I thought you said 16. I was like, 16 what? Is this like 69's weirdly?
Well, if you look, if you write it, do a 16, so you have a 1 and then a 6.
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. You're missing something.
The tail. So the person just laying
Stop
there.
Stop trying to use your hands to explain this to me.
They're just laying there. They're not reciprocating, like, which is so rude of them. No, 16. And I don't remember, but I do remember that I remembered that there was a 16 near-death experience situation. I just need to reread this book, I think, is what I'm convincing
That's
myself
what it
of.
Sounds like to me.
Yeah. I was having such a good time reading it, though. I think my brain has just been... I read a lot since that one. A lot of, like, historical. So they're all kind of, like, melding together. A lot of that was Beverly Jenkins, which was fantastic. Have you read her Destiny series? Destiny's Embrace, Destiny's Surrender, Destiny's Captive?
The latter two. The pirate one and the...
The prostitute one?
Yes. The first one, I have not.
The first one was good. I think I liked 2, then 1, then 3.
So far that series has not been my favorite.
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed book 2. Book 1 and 3 are on the lower end for me of ones that I've read. But they were still very good slump busters. Because, like, I didn't have a bad time in either of them. But I really enjoyed Destiny Surrender. That was the one where I was like, Beverly Jenkins has single-handedly answered the bear versus man debate. She shoots the bear and kills the man.
I have no memory of this. I believe you. I just do not remember it.
Yep. There was like a bear harassing the town, and I sincerely thought that the bear was going to eat the villain, which I was excited about. She ends up saving the town from the bear and then brutalizing the villain. Just alone. He kidnaps her. Obviously, there's kidnapping.
Sure.
It's and then she just goes to town. So. She goes to town on him. And I'm like, yes. Go get it. It was beautiful. If it wasn't a bear, I'm happy it was Billy. Because that man suffered. So. Oh, that's all I can ask, really.
Which one is this?
Destiny Surrender.
I know. What's the premise?
So she's his, like... mistress, basically, because he, like, basically pays her not to sleep with anyone else, but she's like a prostitute, and then she gets pregnant.
Yes.
She gets pregnant.
I was thinking that we were talking about the pirate one.
That one wasn't my favorite. No,
mine either. I did like that one. I do not remember mm-hmm. the bear.
The bear deserved, like, more,
really vaguely, I will say. But yeah,
it deserved to kill a villain, but you know, it is what it is. No, this one, the premise is that she is a prostitute, but he's basically paid her for like 2 years to just like be his exclusively. And then the book starts literally with them banging, and then the sponge rips in half. She doesn't tell him. She ends up pregnant at the beginning of the book. He then, at the same time that I think like the kid is like, I think like 16 months old or something, he is very close to getting engaged or like being engaged to this like heiress, diamond of the first water or whatever. And then Billy storms into the engagement party. So it's very close to a speak now moment. She storms into the engagement party and is like, here's your kid. Surprise. I'm going to leave because this villain is chasing me and both of us, like, I want us to be separated. And this guy was so not having it. He was so angry. He was definitely a dick at the beginning, but he reformed. He wrote the Rake to Simp pipeline. I wrote Woo to Love pipeline. He wasn't a rake. He was ready to settle down. He just didn't want to settle down with her. But then his mother was like, you are getting married. This is a disgrace. I can't believe you weren't going to get married to her. So the mother is the real queen there. And then she gets her own romance. Mm-hmm. And then you see that through like all the books, which was great. But the Woo to Love pipeline is where the hero falls first, or it falls second, basically. But he has to work for the rest of the book to convince her that he actually loves her and that she can, like, trust him in that love. Because before, he was not able to love or whatever. So she was always in love with him. And then once he fell in love, he was, like, way harder and had to show her. So a different pipeline than the Rake to Simp one. There was another one that was ranked as him. But, oh, that was book one. So, there we are. Wow. Many pipelines. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. F1 update.
I don't really have one. Last week was super boring, except for the last 5 minutes of the race. Lando almost won, but that didn't. Mm-hmm. He was really close, though. So he was really close. And I was like, why did I even watch this race at this point? I didn't actually. I slept through most of the middle of it. Because it was so boring that I slept through the whole middle chunk of the race. And then I woke up and Lando was closing in on Max Verstappen. And I was like, whoa. Did I miss anything? And everyone was like, no. And I was like, okay, this is the most boring race of all time.
Did he get like second or third or just like not? Yeah.
No, he came in right behind him. So Max won only by like a few seconds rather than like 20 seconds. So we're closing the gap. We're getting there.
Max, we're
still. Actually, the most important update is that Charles Leclerc adopted a little dachshund puppy a while ago. And Leo Leclerc Saint-Mieux is his girlfriend's last name. And he has a little paddock pass with a little headshot of his full government name, which I may have spoken about on the podcast before, now that I'm saying it. But Leo Leclerc Saint-Mieux is the people's princess. He has usurped his father's throne because the way that he just, like, trots around the paddock on his tiny little legs and sometimes flops down and refuses to move, so his mom has to go, like, pick him up and carry him because he won't move anymore. But the way that everyone in that paddock is obsessed with that tiny little dog, he comes up in press conferences. The journalists will ask about him. There was one, like, Sky Sports commentator guy who was talking about the goodest boy in the paddock, Leo Leclerc Saint-Mieux, going for walkies. This feels
like a Ted Lasso side plot.
It's a direct quote, going for walkies around the paddock. I was like, you are a professional commentator.
Yeah, that feels like a Ted Lasso, like, side plot.
It could be. The way that his – there. Okay, so on, like, race week – the F1 account will post like photos of the different drivers coming into the paddock, like as a carousel post of whatever drivers they have some pictures of. And the last one they did for that weekend, it was like driver, driver, like swiping through the carousel, driver, driver, here's a picture of Charles Leclerc's girlfriend and dog. And then driver, 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 like just her. Normally the wags are in there if they're coming in with the driver.
Yeah.
Not this time. They said, here's a shot of just Alexandra and Leo.
And then I don't know if you shared it or if I saw it on TikTok or somewhere, but the dog pooped somewhere. Yeah,
he did.
And someone was like filming it.
Yeah.
And then they didn't know what to do.
And Charlotte's like, Leo, not in the paddock.
So how big will that dog get?
I have no idea. Not that big, though. So small. If it's a little dachshund.
And he's so small.
He's so small. And he's like out on yachts living a better life than me.
That dog is richer than both of us combined.
No, exactly. He's so wealthy. And he's just trotting around knowing that everyone is obsessed with him. I know he does.
Yeah. Yep.
Just being all like, dogs I'm so that. Cute. And he's right.
He's adorable.
He's so cute. I will never recover. Yeah. That's actually the biggest update, is that he is just the prince of the paddock currently. And every time he walks in, the camera, there are like shots of the cameramen down there like squatting to get good angles of him. It's amazing.
The Paddock Prince.
I was like, this returns. Is what we needed. I mean, Lewis Hamilton also has a dog, Roscoe. Mm. He's like a big bulldog, but he also only comes to the European races. So Ferrari's going to be lit next year with Lewis and Charles with their dogs. I'm so ready.
Well.
When is Max Verstappen going to bring his cats to the circuit?
Of course he has cats.
Yeah.
That really makes a lot of sense.
I think he claims to like dogs better, but he has cats.
What they all say.
So true. If my mom had balls, she'd be my dad. What? Surely I. Okay. Did I not tell that part of this? The Max Verstappen?
No!
Yes, I did. I feel like. Because that was after Lando's win.
What?
In the press conference, they were like, oh, like you only won because of the safety car, blah, blah, blah. And Lando was like, oh, you know, like if there hadn't been a safety car, like if this, if that, I would have had to have overtaken, blah, 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 blah. And Max interrupted him to go, ah, if my mom had balls, she'd be my dad. But, and then just like, okay, It's my favorite thing he's ever said, possibly. Some Max well, Verstappen doesn't care about.
You didn't just come PR up with
training.
It.
Oh no. He doesn't like, care what? About like PR training anymore because he's so good at his job that like who's gonna stop him? No one. So he just says things now.
I love that for him. And I also love that I get to go and read a book about an un-PR trained baseball player.
So true. He is un-PR trained.
I'm so ready.
He's just a goofy guy. He's just a guy who thinks that he's stupid, but he's not stupid. And he's like a little self-conscious that Mark is writing and he's going to make him sound stupid. And Mark is like, I would never do that to you because I'm in love with you. Not that he says that or admits it for a long time, but like, it's true.
I am fully prepared. Literally the 17 pages I have read have been so good.
They're so good. As soon as you start, you're like, ah, she's done it again.
And I just read the Emily Howard one, which is really fun. Did I read something else? I don't know what I just read, but I have to write that review. But I'll procrastinate that with Cat Sebastian. Actually, I've read 3 books that I have to write reviews for. Oh, no. I hate when I do that to myself. My worst trait. It's being like, oh, yeah, I'll write the review tomorrow. She says, not writing the review tomorrow. Okay, well, congratulations. You have listened to us talk. You deserve a medal, a cookie, a treat, a little treat.
Little treat.
Mm-hmm.
Treat?
Treat? So maybe that's buying a book or...
Might be. Who I don't knows? Know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Subscribe to our newsletter because that's at least coherent.
Coherent might be a stretch. It does have recommendations in it, though.
That is very true. And they are in nice little sections.
Nice little sections. Rather you get some bad puns. Every time I set up a newsletter, I'm like, maybe Hannah will have something better to name this or, like, make the subject line. And then every time it goes out, I'm like, nope, she didn't change it.
Nope. I had fun with... The Ghostbusters one, but that was just
that one was excellent. That was all Hannah. That cracked me the fuck because I didn't know you were sending out a newsletter, and I was like, "Oh, what's this?"
I was having a very good time.
It was excellent.
I learned how to make a GIF.
I saw that.
Yeah, I had to do it because I was like, because I was editing. Neither of us said, like, we said Sunbusters, but we never made the connection to Ghostbusters in the episode. So I just fully ran with the fact that I was watching the new Ghostbusters that night. And I was like, what if? Because then it gave me the little paragraph to write that I didn't have to think of any words. And it just, and then I was like, well, that was so funny to me that I want to do a newsletter to add this GIF and to just fully commit.
You're so real for that.
And it made me chuckle.
Who are you going to call?
And then this most recent one, if you haven't read it, was Wallflower Rex, basically. I think they're all wallflowers. Not necessarily like Wallflower Rake or like Best Friend's Brother, but I feel like all of the Rex felt like they could be a really good lead-in or lead-off or whatever from Bridgerton.
Because you haven't watched the season.
No, but I've seen enough about it, and I've also read the book and unfortunately remember too much about it.
It's very different from the book.
That's, like, I feel like I just know, like, because I'm not really scared of spoilers, so, like, I'm not, like, keeping myself from, like, seeing things. So I'm like, I do know that Lord Debling is a vegetarian, and that he cannot love.
It's true. And all that stuff. I need to find wherever it was I saved it. Was it Instagram that was the, like, tell your betrothed if he hath beef with me? It took me out. Tell your friend that if he hath beef, I pay no heed, for I am a vegan.
And I ain't fucking scared of him.
Exactly. No, my problem was I have, like, one-off wrecks where I'm like, oh, this is a good, like, he agrees to help her get married and then falls. Mm-hmm. Or, like, this is a good childhood friends to lovers. Or this is a good, like, wallflower, whatever. But I don't I don't have enough of each of those things.
Yeah.
Like, more than one or two. So we went with wallflowers.
Which at first I was like,
harder to find in newer historical romance.
That was very interesting that you have put that in there. And I was like, you're so right.
I think it's because, well, I wouldn't necessarily, like, I understand why an author of color, like, specifically writing a character of color would lean away from the wallflower thing.
Yep.
Yep. I think that makes sense. But then also, just so the trend right now is so, like, women in STEM, women who are off to, like, the powerful do-it-all, be-it-all heroine, which isn't a bad thing. I sound very tired as I'm saying it. It's not a bad thing. But I do love a classic old-school wallflower, because some of us
are wallflowers.
Are wallflower. We're just, like, awkwardly on the sidelines being, like,
fist bumping.
I did. There was an interview with the actress who plays. Oh my god, Eloise. And her and like the Francesca actress, somebody else, I don't know, but they were like, "Would you rather?" type games, and they asked about if there was a ball, and she was like, "Oh no, I wouldn't show up. I don't have FOMO. I have fear of being involved." And I was like, "Yeah,
phobia
felt."
That is very true. That is very true. Yeah, all I did was type in wallflower into Goodreads and Storygraph to see, like, what popped up. And then, like, I saw, like, what I had read. Because I was, like, blanking. I was, like, suddenly I've never read a wallflower before. Nope. Like, I knew one that I didn't even include. Like, Lenora Bell has a whole Wallflower vs. Rogues series that I put book one in our Beauty and the Beast, so I felt fine not including it for this. But I had to, like, I, like, completely forgot about so many of them because you're right, like, I haven't read a true wallflower, like, in a new book in a long time. Like, if the heroines, like, aren't wanting to be on the marriage mart, they're not, like, actively going to balls, I feel like. I feel like they're, like, off, like you said, like, being in STEM or, like, doing things or, like, living
they're
in
like
the country.
Defiantly, like, a spinster. Yes. They're not a wallflower. Yeah. The way that a true, and, like, Clapas wallflower is.
Yeah, because there was, like...
Who are also off doing things, by the way.
I know. I was like, is Daisy really a wallflower? Then yeah, I was like, I'm keeping
Lillian
it.
Bowman identifies as a wallflower, but, like...
I had that exact thought, because I was like, I mean, Daisy's pretty much doing whatever she wants and, like, pretty go-getter, but she wasn't married, so I guess that's what a wallflower is. So I was, like, trying to, because I had, like, one that was, like, she was an accidental wallflower because she was, like, the popular girl until she sprained her ankle, and then she gets with a doctor. That one was really fun. And I had one that she was literally a wallflower because she was invisible. She made a wish to be, yeah, that was, like, okay. That one beat out a few because that was one of the last ones, and I was like, I have to. That's a fun one.
I love
one.
A twist. I mean, the Samara Parrish that I threw in there, he's the wallflower.
Yep. Yeah, there was an Evilay one that I felt like he could also kind of be the wallflower, but I didn't include that one because you had yours, and I was like, I think that one is a good version of that. But yeah, so I have, like, more wallflower wrecks, but I have more than I thought I was going to have, because at the beginning I was like, I don't know what, so I just went to bed.
I didn't have as many as I thought I was.
Right? Like, and then...
This is where I found myself being, like, modern historical romance leans away from the wallflower.
Yeah, because all the ones that I was finding were from, like, 2018 or 2017 or, like, earlier, you know, like, more classic ones.
Or there were ones that I was like, oh, I bet Tessa Dare has a bunch, but I haven't read them yet, you know?
Yeah, I did include The Wallflower Wager because... Yeah,
I had thought about that one.
That one was easy just because it says it. There I was like, oh, yeah, I guess she's a wallflower. Also, I just love that book, and I've been fighting the urge to reread it, so I was like, I'm just going to talk about it. But it was a very fun newsletter. I read it, like, I read what you put last night, and I was laughing.
Look, I aim to please, and by that I mean I get very sleepy. I open up my laptop on a Tuesday night when I was supposed to have written this on Friday to go out. I go, damn it, I forgot the newsletter again. I should write this before I go to sleep. And then just words come out, and I go,
beautiful words.
Pollinating wallflowers. I don't know.
It cracked me up.
Look, why are there rakes? I kept trying to be like rake in some wallflowers. Why are there so many gardening related puns available?
You're so right. And then I wanted to add, but
brown
it was
is fertile for them.
I wanted to add that Daisy's literally a flower.
Oh my god, she so is.
Yeah, but I could. There were so many words already that I had written that I was like,
rake,
I need to
hoe.
That. Correct.
I just like what. Sowing their seeds, their wild oats. Why is it all gardening?
I really wish there was like a hose emoji. I really had wanted to send that to you, but there wasn't one.
That's tragic.
So I just did
it's really upsetting.
I really was. I was like, why isn't there a hose? Justice for farmers.
Justice for like farmers. Like, God bless him, West Ravenel, Daddy West.
Yes, I'm reading Cold-Hearted Rake right now because I had nothing else to read. I was like, I need to go for the classics. And it was interrupted by my phone shutting off 20 times, but sure. In between the stints of it shutting off, I was having a good time. But then I was getting so angry. So,
Daddy West, my hot, hot stepdad farmer.
Honestly, oh, he's so good. And just I love seeing him at the beginning and like where he ends up.
God,
and just
what a wastrel.
Kathleen just like yells at him. He's just like, oh, I have messed up.
I love that man.
I know.
Is it all right if I call you dad? Just immediately burst into tears. Lisa!
I know.
Why am I crying just thinking about West and his stepchild?
Yep. I'm embarking on that journey again.
Good.
Because...
Good for you.
Thank you.
I unfortunately am really like stuck on this F1 romance thing, and I'm not going to be able to go back to reading my normally scheduled programming until I have read all of the F1 romances.
There are so many.
Well, I've already DNF'd a whole bunch. There's like 6 left on my list or something to actually read. As opposed to read the first few pages and go, oh, no, absolutely not. I started one that I was, like, a little worried it might be bad because it's a new one, a new author to me, indie published, which can be hit or miss. I didn't know. But so far, I am quite charmed. I love a fake dating setup when it's well done.
Me too. Me too. Fake dating had a minute there where people were hating on it. And I'm like, you know what? It's one of my favorites.
I think it's bad if it's, like, stupid. But that's true of literally any trope. If it's like there's no reason for you to be doing this.
Yeah, like I haven't encountered too many fake datings where I just haven't had a good time because they were fake dating. Like I do not honestly care what the reasoning is. I just like the situation. The only one I had an issue with was that, I mean, I probably had more. But they told everyone in their life that they were fake dating except for like 2 people that they had a trick. And I'm like, but where's the fun in that?
Right.
Like, the people like, they like weren't even like in their like main life, so like there was no I'm like, what, why, you've told everyone, now I'm not interested because I love like
now
the having to
fake
it and
dating,
stuff.
So
that one was weird, but most of the time it works for me in contemporary. I love it in historical. It's just so good. So that one I realized last year when I was like doing all my like end of year stuff that I read a lot of fake dating, and then I had a lot of like 5-star and 4-star books in there because they're just so fun. I love a good time. We have sufficiently talked.
We have. God. Okay. Well, there you go. Hopefully you pick up you can only go pick up one of those recommendations actually.
Pick up book 1 in that Vivian Lorette series. Oh my god, my story graph. Technology. Okay, so the series is called The Liars Club, and book 1 is called It Had to Be a Duke. It's the one with the pink dress. And then this is the one with the red dress.
There you go.
Or pick up some Beverly Jenkins. Any Cat Sebastian. Oh, I've been meaning to reread The Ruin of a Rake and that whole Cat Sebastian series because that one was so good. I loved all those books. Ugh, so many books. But then I also just don't want to read sometimes. And then I'm like, yeah. You're right. Audiobooks have been a little bit harder. Of late. It feels really nice to pick up like a solid book and like be reading that.
Been having a lot of luck on my Kindle lately.
Mm-hmm. I got a new Kindle case, which is very fun for me. I love buying accessories. One of my simple pleasures.
That's so valid.
Yeah. It made me very happy. So there was a span there for a while where I knocked out like 10 arcs just because I had a new Kindle case. So if you're in a slump.
Me buying like a new pair of gym shorts and suddenly going to the gym multiple days a week because I'm like, ooh.
Yep. Get out of any slump by just treating yourself to a little treat, an accessory or two. Something to make what you don't want to do enjoyable. And then suddenly you'll want to do it. And it really did work. I had a lot of arcs I had to read, and then I read them all. Now I think I only have like two.
Why doesn't mine do that?
Oh, did it do that again?
Yeah, it gave you a thumbs up. Wow.
Oh my. Fireworks.
Before it just gave you a little thumbs up. Mine won't do it. Mine does it on like my phone when I FaceTime.
That's so weird.
I don't know. Maybe it's because my computer is old.
Oh, that could be. Well, a short moment of fireworks over this sad, empty town.
Yes, thank you. Cool. I was doing the electric guitar.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm still going to bully you into doing a Torture Poets rec thing. But I have to bully myself into finishing it.
I don't have any recommendations for the Tortured Poets department.
We need to.
I don't have any.
Just imagine that you were in love with Maddie Healy and making really poor decisions.
Well, first of all,
and then you,
I simply would never.
I know, I cannot.
Making poor decisions, more relatable. Being in love with Maddie Healy, not relatable.
Making poor decisions over a terrible person who will never be good, but apparently, I don't know. He doesn't look scary up close. I don't know.
But I don't have book recommendations for that.
I know. I'm going to bully you.
Okay. Well, when I bully you into watching Drive to Survive, and then it's over for you bitches.
I'm not opposed. I'm just opposed to any show. But not specifically Drive to Survive. Like, it was good when we were watching it at Steamy Lit. Like, I know. Time.
It's because it's good.
It is. I just have a very hard time watching things. I will say, have you watched Ghosts?
No.
There's like the British version and the American version. Very good show. Like, basically this woman gets hit on the head and can now see the ghosts that have been living in this mansion that she inherited. And they're, like, all from different time periods, and they're hilarious. And, like, it started off as a British show, so you know it's going to be funny. And then it came to the American one, and I don't know if it's, like, sacrilegious or whatever, but the American one is just as funny. Like, they're both very different, and I love them both. But, like, I also very much like the American one, and it's still going. The British one ended. And the episode that I watched last night, it was so funny. There's this ghost from the Revolutionary War, and apparently he loves dinosaurs. And then he was getting married to another ghost, but then they like had a bachelorette party, and the one got a lap dance. Then the other one felt bad, so then like, the human hired a stripper for him to have a lap dance. So she was like just stripped to this empty chair, and he's like, "I'll do whatever. You're paying the bills." And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because he also knew dinosaur facts, and he just started talking about them. And then the ghost was, like, so turned on that this guy was doing a lap dance but also had abs but also was spouting dinosaur facts. And then he was like, "Can you make the sound of this dinosaur, or can you roar?" So then the human was like, "Can you make that sound?" He's like, "Actually, they don't roar. There's no evidence of roaring, but there is clicking." So he just, like, is, like, clicking, like, while doing a lap dance to, like, an empty chair. When I tell you, I was guffawing. Never have I ever guffawed. I was losing my mind. My dad rarely laughs at things. He was like, it was so fun. God, it was a good time. For a good time, call some ghosts.
Wow. Well, it's the opposite of Ghostbusters.
It is. It is. Yeah. Maybe we should do some paranormal recs or something, because I'm suddenly so into ghosts.
Suddenly?
That's so true. I have been into
years ago. We had the nothing gets us so, going like a ghost.
Oh my god, you are so right. And then I saw there's one going around on Twitter by Anne Mallory.
Interesting.
There's another one with another ghost. It's like an older, old school one.
Anne Mallory with a ghost.
Uh huh. Uh huh. I don't know if I can go on Twitter on this iPad, but I will.
I mean, you can just Google it for the Earl's pleasure.
Yes. Apparently he like gets her off at like a horse derby or something, like in the middle of broad daylight, but he's a ghost, so no one can see him. I think the Reformed Rakes podcast did an episode on it. And it's on Kindle Unlimited. That's what I could check. On Kindle.
You know what's interesting is nothing in the description of the book says anything about a ghost.
Yep. But the longer I'm on this here earth, the longer I realize that I just want more fantasy, magical, paranormal, historical romances. Yeah, for the Earl's pleasure. So I have it on Kindle Unlimited, and I will be partaking because it seems like a very good time. And I've got a few like time travel. I feel like a few other ghost ones during the independent bookstore day that I'm excited to read. So maybe that's what I should do rather than do some audiobooks. So,
all right, ghosts. Well, it's time for the struggle bus to park, I think. Give us a few hours peace.
Yes, we need peace. I need to go update this phone. Wish me all the luck on Friday when you're listening to this. Hopefully I will have a phone. I won't be a dinosaur. Because honestly, when I was thinking, I didn't know they could do loaner phones. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to survive weeks without a phone. Like, I was a little panicked. But here we are. Is she saluted? Mm-hmm. You will see us in print sometime next week.
Yay! There we go. Oh my god.
And it's still going.
Loud. It just goes a really long time, unfortunately.
Sounds like a historical romance hero.
It does. It does. Like, all right, buddy, let's wrap this up. Stamina's not our issue.